Pogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith. And this is Rogue Talk for August 30th, 2019. And great to be back behind the microphone after a couple of weeks off. And we are headed into the school year starting again. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about diversity and inclusion, more specifically in the workplace, but also in general. We're going to take a look at what that means and what's being done to achieve the goals of diversity and inclusion. If you would like to call in today, you can do that at 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. You can email the show. That email address is feedback@943thebridge.com. Put Rogue Talk in the subject line and those will come right to me. And you can also go on to the Rogue Talk page on Facebook and you can message there. You can also do public posts there. And I'd love to hear from you any one of those ways. And I will give that phone number out again when we get into the second segment, because I think it's possible there might be one or two people out there that have some opinions about diversity and inclusion. And when we get into that discussion, you'll see what I mean. So I mentioned school is starting, and that means Chieftain Sports, one of our favorite things here on Rogue Talk. In fact, today, a lot of the teams have their jamborees. The jamborees are basically practice games. They head to one of the other schools, and they play multiple practice games against some of the other schools in the area. In fact, the football team will be starting their jamboree at 3:30. At least that was the last I heard. The time changed a couple of times this week. The last that I heard, it was 3:30 at North Valley High School. So if you'd like to head out to North Valley, you can catch the Chieftain football team in their jamboree. I believe they'll be playing either two or three games, and they basically, they're just kind of a scrimmage game. They don't play a full game. They'll play a couple, you know, two or three chances on offense and defense against each team. They were scheduled for three games. That may have changed to only two. But again, that's going on at North Valley at 3:30. So get in the car, turn the radio on 94.3 The Bridge, and continue listening to Rogue Talk while you head to North Valley for the jamboree. Volleyball, they started their season last night. Unfortunately, they were on the losing end. That match was at James Martin Court at Rogue River High School, and they were a 3-1 loser against Oakland. So they've already started their season off, and most of the teams will start their seasons next week. Again, the couple of the other teams, boys and girls soccer, I believe both had their jamborees today. I just mentioned football, and I do have a result from the girls soccer. They had two wins and one tie in their jamboree, so a good showing for the Lady Chieftains soccer team. So, of course, football, we will have all of the regular season games right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And we'll get to the schedule for all the teams at the end of the show. But we will kick off the football season starting next Friday night at home. And we will have that game right here on 94.3 The Bridge. I'll give you more information about all of those games at the end of the show. Few announcements I wanted to take a look at. The local VFW chapter is in need of some volunteers. Their big Patriot Run fundraiser is coming up next weekend, and they could use some volunteers to help out with that event. And you can call Sherry Prudon at 541-761-1379 if you would like to volunteer to help out with their big fundraiser, the Patriot Run. It's a big poker run that they do, and the fundraising is for their scholarship fund. They give out some very generous scholarships to our high school seniors every year, and this is their biggest fundraiser for that fund. And again, they could use some volunteers. I will post Sherry's phone number on the post for today's show. So about 4:30, that will go up, and you can get that number from there if you would like, or you can just go down to the VFW and get the information that you need if you would like to volunteer for that. Want to also give a shout out, well, a couple of shout outs. I want to thank John White for pointing this out. I had not seen this until John posted something about it, but Cole Watson, the Rogue River High School alum who was a runner at the University of Oregon and has really blossomed in the years after he left Oregon as one of these kind of ultra distance type runners. He runs in a lot of these races that are 50 plus kilometers, and he recently went to what is considered the biggest 50 plus kilometer race in the world, and it's the OCC UTMB. And to give you what details I have, it's run on Mont Blanc in France and Switzerland, and they run every August. And Cole finished 8th in that race. And so big shout out to Cole Watson, and a thank you to John White for sharing that on Facebook so I could bring that to you. We have Sam Henricks, friend of the show. If you go onto our Rogue Talk link on our website here at 943thebridge.com. You can go back and listen to my interview with Sam a couple years back. Well, she is back in the news as she has been crowned the 2020 Miss Rodeo Oregon. So congrats to Sam Henricks. We are proud of you, Sam, and maybe we'll try and get Sam back on the show to talk about her latest crown. She's won a couple of these, and she's very deserving. She works really hard at all of the aspects of these pageants, if you want to call them that. I know the terminology has been shifting in the last few years, but nonetheless, Sam works really hard. She's a very accomplished rider, and she is very deserving, and so we wanted to give her a big shout out. I have some results here that I will try and get to you here. I haven't really curated this, so bear with me, but I wanted to get these to you. We did have some folks that did well at the, I believe this was from the state fair. Yeah, so from the state fair, Amy Barnwell did very well in a few of the events. Her Spring U, fifth in her class, along with Nicole Cave, placed fourth in their class, in a class that had 23 Spring U's. So a lot of competition there. Her Fall U was fifth in the class. Yearling U, fourth in the class. Mature U, third in class. And again, I didn't have a chance to curate these, so I'm having to read through them quickly. Erica Hansen, sixth in novice FFA showmanship. And I hope I don't miss anybody, but at least from that particular posting, that's what I had there. And let's take a look at one more here. And Amy won the FFA Grand Champion Suffolk U, and Erica Hansen won the Reserve Champion Suffolk U. That is also at the State Fair. And so, again, congratulations, ladies. Doing an excellent, excellent job. And we talk about the FFA on here all the time. Some of these competitions at the fairs are FFA-related, and some of them aren't, but our kids in agriculture around here just have been doing a fabulous job, and that's just a another example of that. So I think that's all I've got for you for this first segment, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about diversity and inclusion and how it relates to the workplace. So we will take a break and be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. AAA says there's plenty of gas in Florida as Hurricane Dorian approaches. It's just a matter of getting it to the state's gas stations. AAA says Florida will continue to get shipments of gas as long as its ports stay open. The primary delivery points are ports in Jacksonville, Tampa, and Fort Lauderdale. From the ports, the fuel is delivered to gas stations by tanker trucks. A federal appeals court has reinstated a lawsuit over a faulty background check that allowed Dylan Roof to buy the gun he used to kill 9 people in a racist attack at a South Carolina church. A 3-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday reversed a lower court judge who threw out that lawsuit brought by survivors and relatives of people killed in the 2015 massacre at Charleston's AME Emanuel Church. On Wall Street, the Dow by 41 points, the NASDAQ dropped 11. More details at srnnews.com.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with Major League Baseball action from yesterday. The Cubs sweep away the Mets and get within a game and a half of the NL Central lead.
The Cubs completed a 3-game sweep of the Mets with a 4-1 win. Catcher Victor Carantini homered twice off Mets' Jacob DeGrom, including a 3-run blast in the 7th inning. Carantini had 3 of the Cubs' 6 hits. John Lester tossed 6 innings, allowing 5 hits for his 11th win. Craig Kimbrell earned his 13th save. J.D. Davis homered for the Mets. Wilson Ramos extended his hitting streak to 22 games, but the Mets have dropped 6 straight. Chicago now 2.5 games up on Philadelphia for the final wildcard spot in the National League. The Mets are 5 back. Mike Mancuso, New York.
Well, the rest of the National League yesterday, Miami beat the Reds 4-3 in 12 innings. It was Pittsburgh 11 and Colorado 8. The Padres got the better of the Giants 5-3, Arizona 11, and the Dodgers 5. This is SRN Sports. In the American League yesterday, the Indians topped Detroit 2-0, A's 9, Royals 8, Minnesota over the White Sox 10-5, Tampa Bay 9, Houston 8, and Seattle beat Texas by a 5-3 score. AP Top 25 College Football, it's back. Number 1 Clemson opened the season with a 52-14 pounding of Georgia Tech last night. Travis Etienne ran for a career-high 205 yards and 3 touchdowns, including one from 90 yards out. Kellen Mond threw 3 touchdown passes and ran for another score in 3 quarters as number 12 Texas A&M hammered Texas State 41-7. Zach Moss ran for 181 yards and a TD, and number 14 Utah scored 3 more touchdowns off 3 BYU turnovers, beat the Cougars 30-12. NFL news, Cardinals have traded offensive lineman Corey Cunningham to the New England Patriots for a 6th-round pick in next year's draft. This is SRN Sports.
Back to Rogue Talk. And once again, as I promised, I'll give you the phone number again if you would like to chime in. We're going to talk a little bit about diversity and inclusion. We're going to talk about sensitivity training, which is kind of how I got onto this subject, a discussion I had about a multi-day sensitivity training course that a friend of mine had to attend. And so we're going to talk about that. So let me give you that phone number again. 541-299-0498. So I mentioned a friend of mine for I'm gonna keep this as general as I can because my intention is not to get anybody in any kind of trouble. I just want to discuss the ideas that are kind of going around in the workforces today, and some of the contradictions that I see, and some of the things that I think that a lot of things are being done for show instead of for result, and I think that's a mistake, and I don't think it's very productive. So let's get into this. Again, I mentioned a friend had to attend a multi-day sensitivity training seminar for their job, and we had a pretty long discussion with, I'll admit, a few eye rolls. I decided to look into, what is this training? What are they teaching? Why are they teaching this? And is it effective? And as I dug into this, I realized that while most companies have the best of intentions, and what is that saying about intentions and something about the road to hell, or I don't know, I won't get into that, but you can, I'm sure you can surmise where I'm going. When it comes to the areas of diversity and inclusion, it seems that a lot of these companies are trying to appease the woke crowd, and they're doing this at the expense of actually being diverse and actually being inclusive. So what do I mean by that? Well, mostly I want to focus on the diversity, because that's kind of where this idea of the sensitivity training comes in. But let's quickly talk about inclusion, because that's kind of part of the conversation. Oftentimes in the workplace, I have to say, from what I'm looking at in this idea of inclusion, is nothing more than jealousy. I mean, to be honest with you, or FOMO, the fear of missing out. And let me explain a little bit. An employee feeling left out, they might use their race or their gender to leverage as a leveraging tool to gain inclusion, and possibly inclusion in something that they really shouldn't be included in, because their job title or their job description doesn't really meet the criteria of whatever happens to be going on. And let me give you an example. Take a company, let's say they have quarterly meetings, and one of the quarterly meetings that they have is to talk about their payroll expenses. And the people that are supposed to attend these meetings are the employees from the HR department, as well as employees from the accounting department. Well, if no one is excluded from those two departments from the meeting, everyone that's said is supposed to be at the meeting is invited to the meeting, and nobody that's not supposed to be at the meeting is allowed to attend the meeting, then there shouldn't be any problem. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have people claiming that there is a problem, and especially if you make exceptions to this, you can have a problem. But if things are well spelled out, then there shouldn't be a problem with inclusion, because in a workplace, you don't need the janitorial staff in your budget meeting for, you know, I don't know, for supply expenditures. It's not necessary. That's not their expertise. It doesn't mean they're higher or lower than the people at the meeting. It just means that that's not the meeting for them. And as long as that's spelled out, you shouldn't have a lot of problems with inclusion. So that's the way I see inclusion when it comes to the workforce. I know it gets more detailed than that, but basically, you know, if you do the best you can not to discriminate in your hiring, and then you do the best you can to accurately describe your the job roles of each employee and that kind of thing. You can avoid a lot of problems with that. So let's take a look at diversity and the practice of sensitivity training. So I guess before we can do that, we have to briefly define diversity. And I see businesses making the mistake that I mentioned before. And it comes right from the people that coach them, I have to admit. As I researched this, there were business consulting companies that right on their homepage were showing the difference between looking diverse and actually being diverse. And I'm going to use a made up name. And I sort of mean this to have kind of a double meaning, but I really don't. It just conveniently fit the name of the company. But I'm going to change the name to protect the innocent or the guilty, whichever it may be. So Dope Consulting has a couple of pictures that come on their homepage. And it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. The first picture has 2, 4, 6, 8 people in the picture, and they've tried pretty hard to make it look as diverse as possible. And it says that positive change starts with dialogue. And okay, I'm okay with that. I think we should have dialogue, and I think that, you know, to keep healthy conversation, healthy communication, you know, you need to talk about things. No problem with that. So then the second picture that alternates, they kind of switch back and forth. And there's several people in a group setting, and the speaker is speaking and the other people are clapping and they all look happy to be there. And again, they've gone out of their way to make it a diverse group. You've got a man that appears to be maybe Indian because he's wearing some sort of head dressing. The speaker is a black woman, or African American if you prefer, although I don't know her origin, so I don't generally use that term. There's a lady of Asian descent. There looks to be another lady that's mixed race. There's one lady that appears to be a white lady. And again, there's nothing wrong with the diversity. The problem I have is when you replace looking diverse with being diverse. And it's funny because if you try and have diversity of thought in your organization, oftentimes you will have that looking diverse will happen naturally. Because if you're not focusing on looking diverse, you're putting the best people in the best places, and you're looking for a diversity of thought, especially if you're a business with a creative bent of some sort. You know, maybe you're a marketing company or an advertising company. You want diversity of thought because you want to make sure that your ads are targeted to the people that are most likely to be the customers of the product that you're advertising. You don't want to offend anybody. We get that for sure. But if you're going out of your way to do a commercial and you're just purposely trying to look diverse, it's window dressing. It doesn't mean anything. It's very transparent. At least it is for me. I notice it all the time. But when your company has diversity of thought and you don't discriminate in your hiring, you're automatically going to be as diverse as your community. But let's face it, there's certain communities where you're going to see less physical diversity than you will in others because of the makeup of that community. So, you know, you might be in one large city where your workforce is going to be very diverse, racially speaking, and gender, you know, by gender. But in another community, maybe a rural community, or, you know, who knows, it could be another large city, but that has a different racial makeup. It might be more difficult to have that same visual diversity. But again, I don't. That's not the important part. The diversity of thought is really what I think is important. So let's take a look at the sensitivity training. And I was wondering what is this sensitivity training all about? We've all been around someone who makes us feel uncomfortable when they tell an off-color joke or an inappropriate comment is made. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that person might be you, just saying. But I digress. And we realize when we hear something like that, the when and the where that comment is made determines the degree of offensiveness. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, some comments are always considered offensive, but the situation that they're set in can make them more offensive. But there's even things that could be somewhat harmless in one, you know, in one arena, but that are fairly offensive in another. I'll give you an example. If a husband in the privacy of his home says to his wife, "Hey, toots," she might be offended by that, but more than likely it's either a playful pet name he has for her, or maybe he's just really awkward and he's trying to be romantic and he's not very good at it. But she's most likely not going to be offended by that, especially if it's something that he's said before and it's said in a certain way that it's not meant to be demeaning. You know, that might be okay. But if this same guy says it to a coworker, that's going to be taken somewhat offensively and could present a problem. And then even more so, if he says it to a customer of his company, that really becomes a problem, because now you're offending the people that are giving you money, the people that you rely on to keep your business going. And I mean, and it's inappropriate on top of that. But as far as the business is concerned, it's not appropriate, because now you've created a potential problem, not only for yourself, but for your company. And so you can see there's a difference in when and where we say things and how offensive those things can be taken. So I assumed, well, we're talking about things like sexual harassment, and, you know, so we should be sensitive to those things, and giving companies trainings about this is probably a good idea. But is that really what we were talking about? Well, unfortunately, no, not in this case, it wasn't. They may have briefly mentioned the idea of sexual harassment. I mean, that is something we need to be aware of in the workplace. But what they were really talking about was more gender roles and sexual preference and how we deal with people based on their gender or their sexual preferences. Now, on the surface, I think you should take into consideration the gender of the person you're speaking to when you're speaking to them. Their sexual orientation might make a difference in how you address them or how you discuss things with them. It may or may not, but it's something that definitely could be taken into account. But I think that the focus on those things in this society and in this specific thing about sensitivity training has become completely overblown and overapplied. You know, I recently attended my son's college orientation, and at the assembly, it was an assembly-style presentation. They had a group of students that were there to help you out throughout the day, and there was no way you were going to get to know each one of those students, but they were there so that you could see who they were. They had name tags on so that they had, you know, they had their names on them, but they had them stand up in front of the entire crowd to introduce themselves, and some of them did it in English and Spanish because maybe they were native Spanish speakers, or maybe they were in the Spanish language program at the college. Some of them did theirs in sign language because they have a big sign language program at the college. So there were some different ways that they introduced themselves, and it was creative. But one of the things that they were clearly asked to do was to give their gender pronouns. So you would have, you know, John Smith, I'm John Smith. I'm a biology major, he, him, and on and on. And I'll preface this by saying I'm not offended by that. If that's the way you want to live your life, telling people your gender pronouns, fine. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not going to do it, but I don't have a problem with that. But I did find this a little bit absurd, and I'll tell you why. Not because I don't think that if people want to focus on their gender pronouns as they're part of their identity, that I should have anything to say about that, because I don't care. That's fine. But it was absurd because of a couple of things. One, I'm not going to remember any of these people's names. I'm going to look at their name tag when I see them later in the day, because I'm not going to remember the 30 people that introduced themselves. I'm not going to remember one of their names. So if I can't remember your name, I'm surely not going to remember your gender pronouns. So it's now, again, you can say, well, they're going to introduce themselves with their name, and so it's the same thing. Okay, that's fine. If part of giving your name, you feel the need to give your gender pronoun, just understand I'm not going to remember either one of those things. So it's an effort in a proper introduction, but it's also an effort in futility. The other thing is, because I won't remember your name, there's a good chance that if you consider yourself any form of non-binary, and for those of you that don't know, well, you can Google it, but it's a deep dive into this world. But basically, if you don't identify as male or female, you consider yourself non-binary. If I use a pronoun to address you later in the day, I'm likely going to misgender you. Not because I'm insensitive, but because when people decide their own quote-unquote gender, and we have all of these different genders to pick from, it's not realistic for anyone to be able to remember all of these terms that are used. And again, if I'm going to have any kind of a working relationship with you, and gender pronouns are something important to you, I'm more than happy to use those. If we're going to be friends, or we're going to be colleagues, or even if we're just acquaintances, but we're going to deal with one another on any regular basis, I'm more than happy to follow the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have done unto you. If that's what's important to you, I don't have a problem with that. But expecting the whole world to know your chosen pronouns, it's a little ridiculous, and it's a little bit oversensitive, I think. There's plenty of things that, let me give you a quick example, and I'll probably get in trouble for this. But I was driving with my wife, and it was getting dark enough that you should have your headlights on. And we pulled next to a guy that clearly didn't have his headlights on. He had his window down. So she rolled her window down, and she kind of whispered to him to make it like, you know, I'm not calling you out on this. I just want you to know, you know, hey, you don't have your lights on. And he was very receptive of being told that. He was very happy that she told him. And he said in a very nice way, thank you, ma'am. She didn't like being called ma'am. Now, you can apply whatever you want to the term ma'am, but she took it as I'm old, and she didn't like it. And I don't blame her, not so much for not liking being called ma'am, but not liking being called old, because none of us like that are around our age. We don't like to be called old. So that's a situation where what else is he going to call her? I mean, he could say miss or missus, but he doesn't know really. It was the most appropriate term for him to use. And so she wasn't mad at him per se. She was mad at the implication, but not necessarily at him. Well, it's the same thing with these gender pronouns. Nobody knows, you know, exactly what every person's going to want to be called. The other thing where this, it all gets a little bit confusing, knowing the different definitions, whether it's gender pronouns or all of the terms that are used in the LGBTQ vocabulary, if you want to call it that. So I did a little Google searching, and I was actually trying to look, I wanted to look at some of the definitions of some of the terms that they use either for the LGBTQ community or even some of the gender terms. But I came across a website. It's pronounced metrosexual.com. And I don't know the history of this website, but they're clearly a fairly LGBTQ friendly website. But they made my point here, and I don't think they even realize it because they think that this is perfectly okay way to go about things. But we're losing the language. And if words have no meanings, if you change the meanings of words or they just don't have meanings, communication becomes impossible. And that's where we're going with all of these terms. And this is what they had on the website. This list is neither comprehensive nor inviolable, but it's a work in progress toward those goals. With identity terms, trust the person who is using the term and their definition of it above any dictionary. Now, wait a minute, you're contradictory already because you say trust the person using the terms. Now, wait a minute. If you're a man and you identify as a man, and I call you Miss, I'm the one using the terms, so you should trust me in using the terms. That's what it says there. I know that's not what this person meant, but that's what it says. Trust the person who is using the term. What they mean is trust the person who is telling you their term, their preferred term, but that's not what it says. So they're already really unclear here. So I'll go on. These definitions are the creation of a cultural commons, emails, online discussions, and in-person chats, with the initial curation being mine, then growing into a collaboration and between so-and-so and another website. I don't need to get into that. So basically what this person is saying here is this is all made up. But we're making it up, and we'll make these definitions, and the next step to that is obviously, and you'll abide by them. And that's where my problem with the sensitivity training is. But let's look on a little farther, because it continues. We are constantly honing and adjusting language to our humble goal. Have the definitions resonate with at least 51 out of 100 people. So there you go. They think if you have a simple majority, that means that all these made up things are now real. And of course, I'm not surprised by this. This is how science works in this country now. Well, 90% of climate scientists say this. Well, yeah, but the poll you're talking about were hand-picked climate scientists. So of course, 90% of them agreed because they were picked. Because they agree. This was not a poll of all of the scientists. So you get those, you know, again, people using numbers to say things that they don't really say. And it's a real easy thing to do if your mind is manipulative enough. You can use numbers in your favor that really don't go in your favor, but you can make it look that way. So 51 out of 100 people who use the words. Identity terms are tricky, and trying to write a description that works perfectly for everyone using that label simply isn't possible. Yes, you're right. It's not possible because it's not real. We can make up terms all day long. That doesn't make them real. And that's where we get into this thing about gender and sex. Gender in today's world is a made-up term. You can, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you want to have this social construct of a zillion genders. I don't think it's healthy for the society, but if you want to do that, you're welcome to, and they are doing it. But sex is science. So, you know, we've got people that are all about science that routinely ignore science. So again, they contradict themselves over and over. Some definitions here may include words you aren't familiar with or you haven't been taught a flawed or incomplete definition for. I've likely defined these words somewhere else in the list, but if I also missed many. The English in this is horrific, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised that it's also contradictory. This is an ever-evolving project that I do my best to check back in on every 3 or 4 months. All that said, let's get started alphabetically. Well, wait, why alphabetically? Let's vote, and if 51% say we should do it in terms of more important, then that's how we should do it. But then who determines what's more important? But, you know, I get off track there. So I have another example just to kind of show you how ridiculous this is. And again, I prefaced this before and I'll say it again. I'm not offended by any of this and I don't have a problem with it. The problem that I have with it is it's not logical. It can't be sustained because it's also contradictory and there's no way anybody could know these definitions. And I guarantee you I can go on the web and find another page and find the exact same words on another page with completely different definitions, because the people that are deciding this, quote unquote, they can't even agree on the terminology and on the definition. So how am I supposed to know how to address someone when you have all these made up terms that the people that claim to be this community, whatever it is, and it's not just LGBTQ because it's also different genders and the genders is separate from sexuality. So it's not an attainable goal, and it's turning language into a meaningless exercise. But let's go to this. I'm going to play a little part of this video, and this will kind of show you what I mean about contradicting these folks. And I can't assign any gender or anything to them because that's the point of the video. They contradict them, not only each other, but they contradict themselves. So let's listen to a couple of these quotes.
So I'm Toto, I identify as non-binary and lesbian, and I prefer the pronouns they, them.
As far as I'm concerned, my understanding of my gender and my understanding of my sexuality are very much intertwined and linked, like they are one and the same.
So can you be non-binary and lesbian? This is something I often get asked, because when you identify as non-binary, you're saying that you're not female. And if you're not female and you're attracted to women, does that make you a lesbian?
I think it's sort of disingenuous to claim that you can't be both non-binary and a lesbian, because you can definitely have an authentic lesbian experience as a non-binary person.
Because at the end of the day, they are terms. They are linguistic tools used to describe an experience that already exists. So someone telling me that I can't be a non-binary lesbian doesn't mean anything.
Well, there she got it. It doesn't mean anything. And the problem with this discussion is they are two different things. You can't intertwine them. Because one of them is a real thing and one of them is a made up thing. And again, if you want to make things up and you want to define your own gender, I'm fine with that. But you can't expect people to know, because everybody's different. Everybody's definition is going to be a little different. Even if the words are the same, the definitions are different. So this idea of gender is not a real thing. Where a lesbian, whether you agree with their lifestyle, whether you agree with their sexual preference, it's a real thing. They're determining that they are, in this case, a lesbian because they've chosen that type of sexual activity. And that exists. That happens where the gender thing. So where you've got these people telling you, well, it's not realistic for you to separate them. Well, we can't do anything but separate them. And so they're disproving their own point by their own words. And it's I found it kind of amusing to hear that sound clip. But so let's get back to this training, which is not really the focus of my discussion, but it's definitely what got me diving into that. They're discussing things. And so let's go back to my friend at their training. And I'm almost out of time, but I want to quickly hit this. There was a man there that identified as a man, although he didn't use the pronouns. And we'll get to that in a second. That was questioning some of the things they were talking about. And when you listen to some of the things they're saying, there was a lot of eye rolls in the discussion that I had with my friend. But and it was a little maddening because they become so contradictory. But at one point, they asked the group to identify themselves and give their gender pronouns. And it got to this gentleman and he said, I'm so-and-so and I don't care. And so one of the presenters basically attacked him with then what would you think if I called you her? And he goes, I wouldn't answer you. Well, what he should have said, and I mean, it was a decent answer, but what he really should have said was, are you saying that being called her is an insult? Because I thought that was the point of our discussion was using the proper pronouns, but at the same time of using the proper pronouns, you shouldn't be insulted by a certain pronoun. And so she tried to attack him that, well, what if you would be called her? And he basically said, I'm not offended by it, but I'm not going to answer to it either. But you said you don't care. And he says, I don't, but I'm not a her either. So it's just, the thing is all so contradictory. And again, I'm not discounting that we need to treat people a certain way. And again, if you're going to have some sort of a working relationship with someone, I at least, I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't think that it's improper to address them the way they want to be addressed. I don't have a problem with that. But forcing these ideas that are contradictory on their face is a really stupid practice. And when it comes to business, quit trying to look like something so that you please the woke crowd and just do the right thing. When you do the right thing, you'll have the good outcomes. You don't need to appease the woke crowd. And that was kind of the point that all of that was getting to. So I'm going to take a break here and we'll be back with more Rogue Talk.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Forecasters say extremely dangerous Hurricane Dorian is approaching the northwestern Bahamas. The U.S. National Hurricane Center says Dorian remains a powerful Category 3 storm with top sustained winds of 115 miles an hour. At 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Dorian was centered about 420 miles east of the northwestern Bahamas, or about 595 miles east of West Palm Beach, Florida. Some state attorneys general and local governments are skeptical of a proposed settlement with OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma over its role in the nation's opioid addiction crisis. The plan could be worth at least $10 billion to $12 billion for state and local governments, but that's just a fraction of the estimated annual damage caused by the epidemic. On Wall Street, the Dow by 41 points, the NASDAQ dropped 11. More details at srnnews.com.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. U.S. economic growth continued, but more slowly in the second quarter.
The Commerce Department reports the gross domestic product advanced at a moderate 2% annual rate in the April to June quarter. That's down from a 3.1% gain in the first quarter. The new estimate was lower than the government's initial estimate a month ago of 2.1% annual growth.
That's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The main driver of growth, consumer spending, remains vigorous enough to keep the economy moving steadily, if still modestly. The administration's stated goal is a 3% growth rate. Stocks closing higher on Wall Street on word of a new round of trade talks with negotiators from China and the U.S., still set for September to try to move that trade dispute toward resolution. The S&P picked up 36 points. The Dow was up 326, and the NASDAQ gained 116. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And I don't have a lot of time left, but got a couple of things I want to try and get in here for you. A couple of events coming up. There is a disaster and emergency preparedness fair that is coming up on September 14th from 10 to 2 at the Rogue Valley Mall. The aforementioned Patriots run is coming up, and I don't have that in front of me. Let me find that really quickly. Let's get to the next thing. Of course, Chieftain football will start their regular season coming up next Friday, and that'll be a home game versus Lakeview at 7 p.m. Girls soccer, I mentioned, had their jamboree today, but they do not have a game until the following week, so we'll announce that on next week's show. Let's take a look at boys soccer, see if we can get that for you here. Sorry, I didn't have this all compiled quite yet. There's so much going on with the sports that just haven't had a chance to get it all squared away. Although I do tentatively, I'm going to try and have a fall preview show next week, and we'll try and get some interviews with some of the coaches and talk about all of the fall sports at the high school. Boys soccer also does not play next week, so let's quickly get the volleyball. And again, I mentioned volleyball lost last night, 3-1. But let's take a look at their upcoming schedule. So they will, on Tuesday, they will be at Pacific at 5 o'clock. And then they don't play again until the following Tuesday. So that was all of that. And I apologize, I don't have all the details in front of me for the Patriots run, but I will put that on the posting for today's show. And again, they are looking for volunteers, so contact Sherry at the VFW. And everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.